In this episode of Bear Podcast, we talk about PrEP and HIV.
And marbles and your penis.
I'll listen more. Coming up next.
Bear Podcast, 557.
Bigger than the earth, floating through space.
Kind of concerns many of us, even gay people.
He used to be cute, but that bitch just, she needed to be slapped.
Strip cards against humanity.
And it's Sunday night, did you do the sing-along with Sound of Music?
One of them is gay and the other is straight.
I'm so gay.
Apparently he became gay.
It might be a source of sexually positive pleasure.
We worked on it, we had pleasure, that's great.
Is how it's done.
Welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
And joining us today is our prevention specialist friend, Julio.
Hi.
Hello. I like the title. Prevention specialist.
That's it.
I
always thought he was a sex worker.
No. Mm-hmm. That was back in the 80s.
Oh, the 80s. Okay.
Sex. Oh, really? Like I said earlier, prevention specialist, you know, a very good cock blocker, right?
Yeah. Okay. He's a professional cock blocker.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, welcome to the show. After, I think the last time you were here was episode 300, where you talked about
female condoms.
That was a
which
nice
are still
episode.
Damn good condoms to use.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And nobody right. wrote in about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, people won't write in. We try to get people to call in, write us,
ask
questions.
But anyway, yeah, it's
love us, but they just don't love us enough to. They love us like their mother.
Yeah, they don't want to call.
They don't want to call.
Okay, so yeah, let's do some weekends. What did you do all weekend? Just home?
Work.
You worked on the weekends? Okay.
Yes, some of us have work
weekend
duties.
Work. Okay, that's right. How about you, Ray? What did you do?
I had a kinky weekend.
Oh, you had a kinky weekend.
Saturday
Why
night,
is it kinky?
Saturday
let's
night
read
I
the
had,
script.
Saturday night we went and saw Kinky Boots, okay. The musical. And then Sunday we went and saw 50 Shades of Gay.
Okay, so can you do a quick review of 50 Shades of Gay? 50 Shades of Gray, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Read the books.
That's your review?
Read the book.
What? I mean, that's your review. Read the book.
Well, read the books. Because I think some people go in there expecting something that it's not. But it is, they call it 50 Shades of Grey. It is not a BDSM movie. It is not. It's a fucking romance novel.
Oh, wait a second. So was it more, it's a love story, but there's
kink.
There's kink
involved. It is a love story. It is a romance movie. It is a romance book. I don't know why people get so wound up about this bullshit. That's all it is, with a little kink in it.
So it's really, it's almost, not vanilla, but it's just a little kink. So, let me ask you, were there Benoit balls?
No.
Then what's the point? That's the point of watching, of you know, making a film of...
Just to see Benoit balls.
Well, there's a... Well, after the books came out,
okay.
Benoit ball sales skyrocketed and most places couldn't get them in anymore.
Okay.
Because people, there's a scene where he uses Benoit balls on Anastasia. And, but they didn't put that in the movie, so... So, but it was a good movie. I thought the characters did real well. The thing about reading a book and then going to see a movie about it, you have in your, you know, you set in your mind how you see the characters.
Okay.
And I always saw Christian, who's the male lead in the movie, is very hard and cold emotionally.
Is it almost like...
But in the movie, he's... Jamie Dornan doesn't play it like that. And I don't know if that's the way they wrote it in the movie and asked him to play it.
Uh-huh.
Or the way he interpreted it. Because he seemed more open and friendly with Anastasia.
Mm. Okay. So, well, I haven't read it myself. And people said that not too many enjoyed it, did they? How were the reviews?
The dialogue was kind of rough in places, just like the interaction between them. And I think that was the scriptwriter's fault. And I know that since the movie's come out, I know the lady that directed the movie, and I can't remember her name right now, she is fighting with the studios to let her handle the scriptwriting for the next two movies.
Oh, okay.
Because so there's going to be two more.
Yeah. The books, there's three series of books.
50 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades of what?
50 Shades Removed. I think 50 Shades Freed is the third one.
Oh, okay. You read the first one.
I've read all three of them. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's a great. I mean, I like it. It's
so you know
like
what's reading, you knew what's going to happen, of course.
Yeah. Oh. So, I mean, it's like reading a John, what's his name, movie. You know, The Notebook.
Oh, like really? That. Just add some kink.
Just add some kink to it. Pretty much. Is
okay. It's a love story but with kink.
Love story with kink. Guy meets girl. Girl meets guy. They can't stay away from each other.
Well, in between, they do kink, and they can't stay away from each other.
Something like that. In between, she gets spanked.
He's a millionaire.
Was there leather involved?
Yes.
Okay. All right. There's a little kink then. Okay.
Whips and chains, rope.
Hammock?
No. Hammock? I don't think yet. No, there's no sling. They put a sling.
Sling.
It's got to be a hammock. Sling. What do you mean? Is that what they call it? But the leather hammock. Okay.
I think I'll see it. I liked it. The big thing that really stuck out my mind is in the book they talk about all the music. He's a big musical person.
He is.
So when he's doing his scenes with her, there's always this music playing.
Oh.
Well, in the movie, it had a pretty decent soundtrack, but I was expecting more. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Interesting. So you watched that, and you also did Kinky Boots. What's Kinky Boots?
Anyway? Well, Kinky Boots was a movie based on a real life story. It's set in.
Isn't it a play that you went to see? Yeah. Not a movie?
No, it was a movie. It started off as a movie.
Oh, okay.
And it's based on a true story setting, I think it's Nottingham, England. This guy inherited his family's shoe company. They were going under. Somehow he met a drag queen. They got talking, and she said, well, we need fetish shoes because 6-inch stilettos, men can't wear them and hold up to the weight that men put in them.
Mm-hmm.
So his company and the drag queen got together and they made what they call kinky boots, which is all this fetish wear for drag queens with stiletto heels and, you know.
The ones you wear.
No, I don't wear stiletto heels. I can barely walk in flats, much less stilettos. So, but it was the whole story about that and how that happened and how it saved the company.
Selling kinky boots.
Selling kinky boots. Well, I mean, you have to grow and adapt. I mean, they were making standard wingtip shoes for 4 generations, and then nobody was buying them anymore. So,
was there a lot of dancing in them?
Yes, there was some dancing in the kinky boots. Wow. So. And then a few years ago, Harvey Weinstein, who wrote the Torch Song Trilogy, Cyndi Lauper, and a couple other people got together and turned the movie into a musical. So. And she won, and Cyndi Lauper won her Tony for it. For her composing.
And Neil Patrick Harris was in the lead.
I don't know if he was or not in Kinky Boots.
Wait.
No. Because Kinky Boots. Oh,
I think you're talking about if it's Neil Patrick Harris that would be.
You're talking about Hedwig and Angry Inch.
Oh, okay.
Hedwig and Angry Inch, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Got my actors mixed up.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what about you?
Well, you guys missed Louis Weekend.
We're old. We don't do Louis anymore.
Yeah.
No. So, yeah, I was there, and I think they had, how many? I forgot. I don't have the notes here. I think they have about 483 people attend. It's not too many. It's really a small turnabout.
Really?
Yeah. It used to be 900 plus.
It used to be about
1,000 plus, but now it's just cut in half.
These are people that registered?
Yeah.
People registered.
Out of towners, and I don't know.
Well, everything has its ups and downs. So.
Yeah, that's true. And it's kind of cold, too.
Yeah, it's called Weekend.
And, of course, the location. The show of shows was done at Neon Boots. You've been to Neon Boots? Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, you haven't been?
How was the show of shows?
It was good. It was funny. The Bears really did well. Of course, I'm there for the Bears. You'll see the
video. Really?
Yeah. You'll see the videos of them doing All About the Bears. instead of All About the Bass.
Oh, it's All About the Bears.
All About the Bears.
All About the Bears.
Okay. So kudos to Mark. For singing and performing that, and then of course the cast dancing and then lip syncing it. Yeah, it's it's the whole Houston Bears was fun. It was fun, and the Big Men's Club was also funny. They were doing a Proud Mary rendition, but some of them were wearing
non costumes.
I'm so predictable. Isn't it predictable? And that plus and some of them looked like. Tina Turner, and then they were just standing. It was just so hilarious. It was so hilarious. Anyway, so it was a good good show. It was fun.
So let's get big to the big story of the weekend.
Which one? Walking Dead.
Walking Dead.
Walking Dead. Wait, before that, Oscars. Did you watch?
Well, we got that in entertainment.
You got entertainment? Okay. Yes.
We'll do obviously, somebody not read the notes.
Okay, but Walking Dead. You don't watch Walking Dead.
I used to.
You used to?
Okay.
What stopped you? All the gore?
No.
Okay.
My roommate cut out the internet.
Oh!
I mean the cable.
Oh, that's why. So anyway, okay. So what do you think?
Well, my big thing, I'm not going to try to do any spoilers, but there's the big gay kiss that has just got all the people a Twitter.
I saw that.
That just went.
Imagine there's a gay kiss in Walking Dead.
Who get kissed?
Well, there's
new characters.
There's new characters, but in the storyline, there are gay characters.
Yeah.
And they brought them in this season as they head to the because they arrive at the community.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I knew what's going to happen. But, you know, what's funny? Okay, so the guy came in the previous episode and then he met his partner in this episode. In the comic, in the graphic novel, they did not kiss. As far as I know, they did not kiss. They were just, you know, head to head saying, "Oh, you know, don't do overnights anymore, please. You know, I can't stand that you're away." That kind. Yeah. But in the TV show, they were making out.
Well, they changed around for the TV show.
They changed it around.
But just because the two guys kissed, everybody just went ape shit over it.
Yeah.
What do you mean, who?
Huh? Like all the
critics?
Well, no.
Twitter.
All the fans.
Okay.
Talking about why are they bringing gay shit in Walking Dead?
Yeah. And we didn't need to see that. That did not add to the story. Really? I mean, there were lots of heretical
kisses before. If you haven't seen all the negative posts, go look on Facebook because there's shit all over Facebook about it. I even look at my feed. There's a few.
What? No gay zombies?
Well, I don't know. Are zombies even gay zombies?
Yeah, that's right.
But anyway, okay. Just to let you know, a couple of years ago, I went to Comic-Con. This was 2011. And I met Robert Kirkman, the creator of Walking Dead. And he was in the gay panel. He's not gay. I wish he was gay. Yeah, Robert Kirkman.
He's like a Kevin Smith.
He's like a Kevin Smith. He's a big bubble bear, but then he's very straight. But anyway, so he's in it's a gay panel.
Yeah,
talking about homosexuality, gay characters, and homosexuality in comic books, and in all actually, I think all. Comic books by Robert Kirkman. There is a gay character somewhere, and in Walking Dead, this is the first gay couple he introduced in the comic book. So now it's now in the TV show, which Robert Kirkman also produces and directs. Just produces. He doesn't direct, but he just produces it. But yeah, I mean, kudos to Robert Kirkman to bring in the gay characters.
Well, I posted on my Facebook day. There was one. It's like okay with violence, okay with lesbians. Okay with
with
cannibalism, not okay with two guys kissing.
Yeah, I know, right?
So
it's okay to kill other humans to protect yourself or whatever. Yeah, but it's okay.
And
to
one of my favorite
things,
they also did a thing on like Queerty. One of them did a thing on all the posts, people on their Twitter feeds and all that kind of stuff. And one of them was like, "I can't believe they put this on TV. My children watch this show," and I'm like, "You let your children watch this show?" Really?
Yeah, because it's not for kids.
It's not
for mature audience.
Mature audiences. I think somebody has to be in their teens to watch this. And
mm-hmm.
if it's my kids, they'd probably be 15 or 16 before they watch something like this. So.
Yeah, that's true. So anyway, it's good. I mean, it's a very good. But you know what? That whole episode is probably just about two pages in the graphic novel.
In the graphic novel, yeah, the comic books is only about two pages. So
yeah,
and I got to start picking it back up because I'm all they're almost caught up to where I was on the comics. So
yeah,
I got to go
too.
Start catching.
Yeah,
up.
I got to catch up my two.
Well, without further ado, let's bring out the Houston Bears.
Because you know I'm all about the Bears. Thank you.
let's hear it for the Houston Bears.
Anyway, so where do you want to go now, Ray?
Okay, well, since we got Julio sitting here, we might as well talk about him.
Let's talk about you. Okay, I'm going to close this because let's get on with it. The reason why we have Julio in the show because he is big on preventing what? You're a prevention specialist. Mm-hmm. Preventing what?
HIV and STDs. Okay. Or STIs.
STIs, all right.
Okay. What's an STI?
Sexually transmitted infection.
Infection.
So that
it
includes...
used to be STD.
But... No, I was fixing to say, what the hell is STI?
We're it's not STI.
No, they're modern now.
Sexually
transmitted infections.
Okay. So that includes, of course, chlamydia, syphilis, gonorrhea, HIV.
Herpes, genital warts.
Yeah, stuff like that. Okay. So, but that's not, that we could probably talk about that a little bit. But no, the reason why we are here in the show, we've been planning this since last year.
Yeah.
To have you talk with us about PrEP.
Okay.
So what is PrEP?
PrEP is a medication called Travarz, and people take it on a daily basis, and hopefully what it will prevent is a person from getting HIV.
Okay.
So it's like contraceptive is to women. It's like
right.
HIV's contraceptive.
Right. So people take it on a daily basis, and hopefully if they come in contact with somebody that has HIV, they won't get HIV. But there's pros and cons to that. Mm-hmm. They've done studies where if people take it, it does prevent a person from getting HIV. But the con is, it's like birth control. If a woman doesn't take birth control on a regular basis like she's supposed to, what is she going to end up being? Pregnant. So if you don't take this medication like it's supposed to, and you miss a couple of doses, and you put yourself at risk, you can end up with HIV.
Well, let's get realistic here. Most of the people that are out fucking around, they're young kids that are using this. They're adults, I know, they're using it
right.
too, because I've talked to some people that do it.
I know some
but
people
But I know it's
it.
A lot of the younger 20-ish
mm-hmm.
group that's using this drug, that's using this medication, because I'm saying it's medication because it's prescribed. But they're also doing drugs, large amounts of alcohol, all this other unsafe stuff.
Right.
So what does that play into the
Well, when people are doing drugs and alcohol, think of if you get a cold or you get sick and the doctor gives you antibiotics for 7 days. After you take them for 3 or 4 days, if you feel good, what happens to the rest of the antibiotics for the 7 days? You don't take them.
And people do that?
Yeah.
Well, I know that people would do that, but I...
Well, not everybody's hypochondriac, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I'm told to take a drug for 10 days by a doctor, I would take it for 10 days. Even
Believe it or not, a lot of people do not take the drugs the way they're supposed to. And that's what PrEP is. You have to take it the way they prescribed it. If you don't, if you're doing drugs, alcohol, and all that, you're going to miss taking your drugs. And... That's going to lead.
Wait, so you're saying just because you're drinking and taking drugs, mm-hmm. is a big possibility that you'll forget taking?
Absolutely. When people come in to get tested, and they ask, and we ask them, we always ask, why did you put yourself at risk? The number one reason they tell us is drugs and alcohol. Not that they didn't have a condom, drugs and alcohol. So drugs and alcohol have a lot to do
really?
With the spread of sexually transmitted disease. So if you're supposed to be on this medication on a daily basis... And again, you know, that's not even if you get side effects. A lot of these HIV meds, you get side effects. So if you're getting side effects and you decide, oh, I'm going to skip it on, you know, Tuesdays and Wednesday, then you're not taking the medication the way it was meant to be, and you're putting yourself at risk.
So there are side effects for taking this drug. Just
of
like,
course.
Just like the HIV drugs.
Well, it is an HIV
well,
drug.
Well, yeah, but I mean, just like...
Travarz is part of a combination of drugs that they give people that have HIV and full-blown AIDS. But in this case, they're prescribing that one drug to prevent HIV.
Okay.
So when people take this drug, you know, for HIV, it has side effects. And, you
what
know...
Are some of the
what
side
are side effects? Diarrhea.
It could be diarrhea. It's different for everybody. Everybody's body has a different immune system. And so this person might get diarrhea. This person might get, you know, get gassy because some of these medications make people gassy. So sit next to somebody now.
So if a guy's farce, oh, you're in Truvada. No. Is that what you're saying?
But some people, you know, get upset stomach. So, again, it all depends on the person, what side effects they're going to get.
Okay. So just to be clear, we've been talking about PrEP. PrEP is short for pre-exposure prophylactics.
Right.
Okay. Now, I know that PrEP just came out in the last year.
It's been approved for in the last year.
Last year.
It was approved, okay.
Approved for general consumption by the masses.
Right.
Which apparently is going on very strong. And I understand that it's very expensive, too.
Right. It's very expensive. There's still a lot of insurance companies that are not paying for it. So if you're lucky to have a company that insurance company that's going to pay for it, but again, it boils down to are you taking it the way you're supposed to? And unfortunately, I was going to bring Maynard a printout of some of the studies they've done in San Francisco. And when I was reading through it, and I'm going to forward it to Maynard. Maybe he could scan it and upload it to the Bear Podcast website.
Yeah.
And one of the studies that they did in San Francisco, they gave all these people PrEP, and 18% still came back positive a year later.
Because of carelessness.
Because they didn't take the medicine the way they were. And PrEP is supposed to be used in conjunction with condoms. It's not supposed to be used to not get... Remember, you're trying to prevent HIV, but what about syphilis, chlamydia, gonorrhea, and all that stuff?
Okay.
PrEP is not, you know, this particular medication is not going to prevent you from catching that. But a lot of young people and adults, they're taking the PrEP and they feel like it's a license to go have unprotected sex.
It's a get out of jail free card.
Get out of free card. Mm-hmm. But you're going to catch other stuff. So PrEP wasn't meant to stop using condoms. You have to use PrEP plus condoms to reduce the risk. It's all about, you know, how much do you want to reduce your risk?
Okay. So you're saying that if you use condoms along with it, that's all like 99.999%.
Right.
That you won't be infected. But then if you're, okay, because I've heard these stories about, you know, mm-hmm. going to places in California, I'm not going to say where, P.S., you go there, there's some parties there.
Well, I think that happens here in Houston. I mean, you get that shit. You have this kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's true. But then I heard some stories about, you know, being in a party, it's a PrEP party, mm-hmm. and they're trying to break records. How many is going to, how many can fuck them and get as much loads as they can? How many people can do it to him? It's okay because I'm in PrEP. Yeah, so that's okay. Right. They say that, and the ones you've known, is it prevalent here in Houston?
I've heard of it, but not that I'm aware of.
You're not aware of
it. Right.
Yeah, just heard from friends that, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, since I do testing, I've had one person that was on PrEP come back HIV positive. And again, when you start asking questions and all that, basically he told us he was missing doses and putting himself at risk.
Okay. So how about the use of it? Like, you know, you're going to have, let's just be, you know, just be out there. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know you're going to have a fuck party on Saturday. You start thinking, is it valid to say that I'm going to start prepping myself from Monday to Friday until Saturday? I'll be taking the medicine all the way. Will you be prepared? Is that enough to be prepared? Not even.
Plus, another thing with PrEP too, okay, it's supposed to prevent you from catching HIV. What happens if you do get HIV? This is one of the medications that they use in combination with other medication to keep the virus in check. What happens with some of the HIV meds over years is you build up a resistance to these drugs. Mm-hmm. So if you're on this PrEP and, you know, hopefully it keeps you from forgetting getting HIV, but what happens down the road if you do get HIV, you're going to ruin a whole class of drugs because you were on this PrEP when you didn't need to be on it. And people don't think about that, but you build resistance to these drugs. You're taking, you know, a drug that's very powerful. You're putting it in your body. You're going to have side effects. And again, you're building a resistance to that class of drugs.
Okay. Well, plus the viruses and bacteria and diseases also start developing resistance.
Mm-hmm.
I know there is a serious issue with syphilis here in Houston that's become penicillin resistant.
Wow. That's where gonorrhea. Syphilis, we still use the same treatment. We haven't seen an increase of, drug-resistant syphilis, but gonorrhea, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how long does it take for one to be ready? Let's just say, you said that 5 days is not enough. Do you have to be like in a month, taking prep for a month to be absolutely safe?
That's what they recommend. But again, everybody's immune system is different. So, once you take the medication, it starts circulating in your body. Again, going back to birth control pill, the women take birth control pills for X amount of days. And then when they want to have their period, they go off of it during that time that they're off, whatever it is, 7 to 9 days, they're at risk to catch because the medication doesn't work. It stops working once they stop taking it.
Okay. Well, that's for birth control. But
prep works
the same way.
It works the same way. If you miss two doses, then you're not building that 24-hour cycle to cover your body.
Okay. So what is safe then? I mean, you have, let's say, okay, if you, okay, how do you say that?
Abstinence is safe.
Yeah, abstinence. Do not have sex at all.
I practice that a lot.
So,
right.
In the past.
I mean, if you're going to be on PrEP, then you have to, a lot of times they do other blood work to see how the medication is working in your body. So you have to do your follow-up. And again, you want to use PrEP along with condoms.
Yeah.
And limiting your number of partners.
Mm-hmm. Limiting it to 10 instead of 20, right?
We know you get like the 20s.
Okay, so how long does it take to build up this good resistance?
Again, everybody's body is different. Okay. So everybody's immune system is different.
But is there like a minimum or maximum?
I think right now they're telling people to use it for 30 days.
Oh, so okay. So that's a ballpark figure. Okay, right. 30 days, take these.
Right.
That don't stop. I mean, but in after 30 days, then you can do whatever, but in conjunction with condoms.
Right.
Okay. That's a long time.
You could still use, on day one, you could still take the medication, but if you're using condoms. But if you're not using condoms, then you're putting yourself at risk. So, wow. Again, it's
so you're saying it's not really that safe then?
Well, again, it depends on the person.
But assuming you're ADD, not ADD, you are anal retentive. You have OCD that you, you're not going to bear back if you have OCD, right?
Exactly.
Let's just say you're anal retentive. There you go, anal, yeah. That you, I know, I have an alarm. Every 6 a.m. I'm going to take this Truvada. Right. Okay, I'm good. I'm good to go. 30 days, boom. I go to this fuck party. I'm safe, but then I'm really safe at that point.
Yeah, you should be. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. But again, going back, everybody's immune system is different. So,
do they know the new strain of HIV that they found in Cuba? If it's resistant,
they just did one article. They're still haven't published enough about it for us to be well informed. Supposedly, it's supposed to be a strain of HIV that apparently none of the medication worked, and that's another thing too. There's different strains of HIV. So, again, what happens if you come in contact with a strain that's not working against this Truvada? Again, you're taking risks.
Okay. But I thought that article that we read a couple of weeks ago, it was more of a, it's not really resistant, but it's aggressive.
Right.
That yes. Once you get HIV, like probably a couple of, like 1 week or 2 weeks, you already have AIDS. Because,
again,
yeah, I mean, that. What's the problem with that?
They need to do more studies and all that. That was just one article. And again, in the next couple of months to the next 12 months, they'll write more articles about it. They'll publish more findings. But right now, that was just one article.
Okay. Okay, we have a I asked you about this question. I think you wanted to ask me this before also. Women, do women take PrEP?
Well, it's more prevalent in the gay community.
Yes, that's true.
Okay. There are some women that are on it, but not compared to gay men.
Okay.
Plain and simple. Gay men, it's their number one client. And if you see a lot of the advertisement for Truvada, they're always in gay magazines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
You don't see it in Home Journal, advertised on the. If you ever watch the evening news, it's all about medications, you know, but you never see that one.
Yeah. I see. It's only for the gays. But how recommendable is, I guess, is this recommendable to everyone?
Again, it all depends on the person and their experience. If there's somebody that have been taking risks all the time, then yeah, this is something that, you know, hopefully will help that person reduce their risk. It's not 100%. Now, if you're a person that you're faithful, you always use condoms, you're not sleeping around with Maynard's 20.
you're not one of the 20.
You're not one of the 20?
Yeah, you're not in his circle, Joe.
All right. And you're limiting your number of partners, you're using condoms all the time, then why do you want to be on PrEP?
So we're just curious about that. Didn't you talk about that before? If women do take it, I mean, what advantage do they?
Women get HIV too.
Yeah, that's true. It's just that when they take that, I mean, they're a whore. I'm sorry.
Men aren't.
And men, exactly.
But
men
that's
aren't
a given.
So here's another thing. Look at it. Depending on whether you're top or bottom, and
top or bottom is the same risk.
Same risk.
Same risk. So it doesn't matter whether you're top or bottom, it's 100% risk. If you're having sex with somebody unprotected, there's a chance both you'll get HIV, whether you're top or bottom. 100% risk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's just scary thinking about it. That I just remember those stories that I heard that, you know, trying to break a record. I'm on my 12th guy now.
Well, you know? Me, Maynard, and Ray have gone to a couple of bear events where people that we knew were HIV positive were up there having unprotected sex with people that wanted to get infected.
They wanted to be?
Yeah.
They're bug chasers?
Yeah, absolutely. You see that on Craigslist. You see that on a couple of sites where people, if all their friends have HIV, you know, they want to be with the crowd and get HIV.
What?
Which is just plain old crazy. I mean,
it's like misery loves company.
Exactly. You know, especially among young men, you know, there's a lot of young men that are out there looking for people that are HIV positive, and you see those ads all the time.
Mm-hmm. And they're putting themselves into risk.
Exactly. Mm. So, again, I've been doing this for almost 30 years now, and, you know, even the smartest person, even the most intelligent person, people take risks, you know.
You're talking about being a prevention specialist.
Mm-hmm. What?
Being a prevention specialist.
Yeah.
Well, on the PrEP side, let's take on the post side. Mm. Say I'm pretty straightforward. I use condoms. I'm safe. I go out, go to a party, get really fucked up one night, pick up somebody, have sex with them, and wake up the next morning like, oh, fuck.
Then you could go get the post medication. And the post-exposure.
Yeah.
But that's different than PrEP. PrEP is just that one pill. Post-exposure is usually a combination of up to 2 to 3 drugs. And most of the time, you're going to find it, if you call one of the biggest local AIDS organization, they'll tell you which doctors are writing that prescription. Because not every doctor, you go to your family doctor, he's not going to know what you're talking about. He's not going to know what to prescribe. So again, this is something that you need a specialist for. And if you don't know anybody, depending on what city you live in, call the biggest either gay organization or the biggest AIDS organization, and they'll usually have a list of doctors that are willing to write those type of prescriptions.
Wow. Okay, so let's talk about really quick about the post-exposure prophylactics. So when you do that, how does it work? So, okay, you know you have a risky evening.
Right.
Okay. The next day, you realize that you get a prescription. Is it like a 5-day prescription?
Usually it's also 30 days.
It's also 30 days.
Right. And again, you're looking at a combination of several drugs. And again, some of these drugs are very toxic. You're going to have side effects to it.
It's too much work. 30 days, because, you know, I did something risky last night, so I'm going to take a drug for 30 days.
Right.
Or I plan to do something risky 30 days from now. I'm going to start taking this PrEP now. It's too much work.
I hear in Europe, they have a one that's 7 days, but they also have a couple of drugs that are approved in Europe that are not approved in the U.S.
Oh, okay.
So in Europe, it's like they have it in a little pack, you know, for 7 days, and you take, you know, like a little blister pack,
mm-hmm.
and you take it through like you do with antibiotics, like a C-pack, but that's not available here in the U.S.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So
PrEP is pretty much, PEP, the post-exposure prophylactics. It's really like Plan B.
Yeah, Plan B.
So,
but yeah. Again, you have to take it within a certain amount of time. Plan B, that's a morning after pill for women if they think they expose and they don't want to get pregnant. You have to take those within 72 hours.
But then with PEP, you have to take it almost immediately.
You should, right.
Yeah.
Because once you get one HIV virus particle in you, as soon as you get that one virus HIV particle in you, it starts multiplying real fast. And usually within a day or two, you can infect the next person.
Well, if you're sore, you probably don't want to, I guess.
If you're sore.
You know, if you had really...
So let's talk about HIV a little bit here, Julio. How soon can it be detected now? How fast has it got?
Okay.
Within, say, I go out and have sex with this guy, and I don't have sex with anybody else. How soon, if I became infected, would you be able to tell now?
Officially, it's 90 days after you've been exposed. You want to get an HIV test. The current tests, they're more sophisticated, and in a couple of weeks, if not. So, you know, either a couple of months or a couple of weeks, they're going to have a rapid, what they call HIV combo test, and actually will pick up the virus a lot sooner. We're still waiting to see what the insert is going to say. It could be they're going to put either from 9 to 14 days after being exposed, you can find out with this new rapid HIV test.
How many days again?
Again, we don't know what the exposure, because again, they did the studies and all that, but the manufacturer still hasn't released the product.
Oh, okay.
But it's going to be a rapid test. And right now, we can order that test. It's a blood test. We send it to the lab, but it's a very expensive test. So we're waiting to see what the price is going to be on the rapid test. But it's going to pick up the virus a lot sooner than the current ones that we have to tell people 90 days.
In the testing methods, I know they've got a lot of oral stuff now and home kits now. How reliable are those?
There's nothing wrong with the home kit, but the last study they did, more than half the people didn't do the test kits right, and so they got a false positive. Plus, there's a number that you have to call afterwards, and they took the kit off the market for a couple of years, and they just brought it back because so many people were doing it wrong. And they're supposed to call that number. You're looking at a test and it's showing positive. Are you going to call that number? Probably not. You're going to go hysterical, which people have done that. And, you know, there's a lot of things that people are not ready to handle by themselves.
So when they do that...
Do you think anymore, especially the younger generation, it's like, oh, I just got something. Keep on going.
Yeah. A lot of people are like that, you know? So... You know, you could buy a home kit, but we don't recommend it. There's a lot of places that do free HIV testing, you know, and so a lot of community-based organizations do testing. Like one right now, if you're in Houston, the local Planned Parenthood has free HIV testing every Monday at all their clinics.
Okay. So usually when you, like, let's say you have that tested, you get the results, like, how many days? Or
The rapid test, you get the results in 15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Or depending on the test. They have one that's 20 minutes, 15 minutes, and now they have one that you get the results back in 60 seconds. Wow. It's that fast. It's called an INSTI test.
But those are the, like a smoke check. But the real test would be the ones within 90 days. That you have a
result. Well, we tell people, if you think you've put yourself at risk in the past 6 months to 3 months, go ahead and take a test. If it's negative and you put yourself at risk 2 days earlier and that's what you're concerned about, then come back in 90 days and take the second test. If that second test is negative, then you know that you weren't exposed during that person or incident that you were worried about. Okay. So, and again, with this new test, it's going to change that because hopefully it's going to cut down the 90 days. But again, we're waiting for CDC to do the final rules and all that. And another thing that's coming out in a couple of months too, it's going to be an instant syphilis test. You're going to be able to get the results for syphilis in 15 minutes. And again, that test is coming out before the end of the year.
That's great because that is more common and more, not really common, but...
Syphilis is very more common than HIV.
Yeah, more common. So if you get that, you can have a syphilis test party. Everybody get together and...
That'd be nice, but a lot of people... We actually did that one time. We did that one time.
We did that once many years ago. Let's have a test party.
A test party. And that's nice, but what happens if somebody comes back positive and they don't handle things very well?
It's going to be... We didn't do that anymore, right?
So... Yeah. You want to be careful if you do a test party.
Yeah,
I'm up for doing a test party, but people need to understand if you know it's supposed to be confidential. You come out screaming and crying and carry on. Guess what? Everybody's going to know you came back positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
That's right. Just have a poker face if you need.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But like I said, nothing wrong with PrEP, but it's how you use it and. You got to ask yourself, am I a person that's been taking risks? Are you going to continue taking risks? Because if you're going to continue taking risks, why are you taking the PrEP? Mm-hmm. So PrEP is to be responsible. And again, you use PrEP plus condoms at the same time.
Okay. All right. To wrap this up real quick, what do you know about the new HIV vaccine they've been talking about?
Again, they're working on several vaccines. There's nothing current. There's nothing that I... have heard that's coming out in the near horizons. So
nothing really promising?
Nothing yet.
Oh, wow.
Again, they've written articles and they've gotten close to it and they're doing trials, but nothing.
Wait, nothing that is good?
Nothing that is promising that, let's say, 6 months from now, we're going to have an HIV vaccine. Mm-hmm. It's still, I think it's still years away.
Oh, okay.
Wow. You know, so
you still got to get immunized for measles.
Yes.
Because that's the only thing you get immunized against.
Now, in terms of good news, if you know anybody that has Hep C, that has changed a lot. For Hep C, if you had Hep C, there was just one drug and it was a 10-month regimen. A lot of people couldn't tolerate the drug. So the cure rate was 2%. In the last 18 months, they've approved up to 5 new drugs, and the cure rate for Hep C went from 2% to 98%.
Whoa, a reversal.
A big reversal. And
but
the treatment lasts for about 5 months. The side effects are totally different than anything that was on the market before. So right now... there's a lot of money for people that have Hep C to get treated for free. And we're in Houston, but look in your local, your local city and look for whoever's a liver coalition. In Houston, it's called St. Luke's Liver Coalition. And if you call them, you'll get a guy named Wayne, and Wayne will hook you up and tell you where you need to go if you have Hep C to get it. Here.
You're talking about hepatitis C.
Yeah, hepatitis C.
Hepatitis C, which, what is the most common way to to get infected with
needles, injecting needles, tattoos, body piercings. So
food.
No, that's hepatitis A or B.
That's hepatitis A or B.
Hepatitis C is all through needles.
Yeah, you get hepatitis A if you eat bad salad, right?
No, well, somebody didn't wash their hands. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Or when you're tossing salad. Okay,
yeah.
So hepatitis C, you're saying now, because I remember hepatitis C is the bad one. Is it B mm-hmm. or C? C is the one that's the worst.
C will kill your liver until you need a liver transplant. Mm-hmm. And again, just so you can see how things have changed, if you watch TV, you'll notice more commercials for Hep C and telling people to call this number. Usually it's one of the drug companies, and they'll refer you to the local place that are doing the treatments and all that. But you would never see a commercial for Hep C. This week alone, I've seen 5 or 6 of them already.
Okay.
So, Hep again.
C.
It's coming out there, yeah.
Can you get that through sex? You can too, right?
You can, but the risk is very low.
Oh, okay.
Very low. Again, number one way, IV drug users.
Unclean tattoos.
Unclean tattoos, body piercings. And the worst two body piercings to get is your tongue or your genitals. When you get a tongue or genital piercings, people are playing with that piercing all the time, and it's an open wound. And when you're having sex, what's the two parts of you? Your genitals and your mouth. And so that puts you at risk to catch HIV and other STDs through a body piercing.
Well, they tell you when you get Prince Albert that you shouldn't have sex for, 6 weeks?
Something like that.
I think. And I know everybody laughs at that. And I'm just like, you just had a hole pushed through your dick. One that did not need to be there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
Mr. Payne?
And some people do it by themselves.
By themselves.
I know some people who did it to themselves.
Right. So make sure your equipment is clean and sterilized.
I don't know if you want to wrap it up, but another big thing now is guys putting dominoes in their penis.
Dominoes?
Yes, that's a big thing now.
Wait a second. Dominoes.
So now we got Fats Domino going rolling up in here?
Yeah, it started in prison, and more people are doing it outside of prison.
So
basically, you have to use something that's not going to deteriorate inside the body. So a domino made out of marbles, or even marbles themselves, the small marbles. And what they do is they slice the top, depending on where you want to put it, on the top or bottom of the shaft of your penis. They slice it open, they stick it in there, and then it heals. And when you're having sex, that domino is rubbing against the anus or the vagina or the marbles going up and down. And so it started in prison. And we saw a lot
of those freaky bitches.
I can't even imagine how to do this. Okay, keep going. Okay.
So if it's a big domino, what they do is they shave it down little by little by little till they get to the size that they want. And if you could Google and you'll see pictures of a penis with a domino in it or marble. And so they shave it down, and again, they cut a little slit. They stick it in.
Wait, slit where?
On the shaft of your penis, depending if you want it on the top or on the bottom.
Okay.
Here, man, get your penis out and let's see. You're in the show. We need
demo. Let me get a knife.
We need visuals.
But
we need to draw it.
You make a little slit, and you stick the in between the dermis. You put the marble or the domino in there, and then it has to heal.
So it's just a new form of body modification.
Right.
So it's like, instead of marble, you put a domino.
Right, or marble.
Or marble.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it has to be something that's not going to deteriorate under the skin and cause an infection.
So when you do that, you open the penis, you slit, and then you sew it.
No, you put it in there. You put, again, it started in jails. They don't have, ways to sew there.
But they have bandages, at least.
They put a bandage on it and wait till it heals. And if it heals and you don't get an infection from the slit, then you have a marble or a domino that goes up and down on the shaft of your penis.
So you're saying if we're paying dominoes and then, I need a 3-5. It's in my dick.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So in Chinese prisons, they're doing mahjong.
Yeah, like
the mahjong tiles.
That's right. They use mahjong tiles in Chinese prisons.
But again, I work at several prisons, and we used to see, that only in prison. But now I'm seeing a lot of people, especially... A lot of straight guys are doing that to their penis because, again, they feel like that adds extra pleasure for the girl and stuff
just
like that.
Just by ribbed condoms.
Huh?
Yeah. Just by the ribbed condoms.
You mean, yeah, ribbed condoms are not enough, so you put a marble or something.
Or Google it and post a picture of it.
The first time I've heard of it. That's why. You learn new
Again,
things.
We see more and more of that happening in people that were not in prison, but that started in the prisons. Wow. That was a big thing in prison.
I remember spooning, using spoons. How does that work in prison?
Spoon for what?
Remember, there's an episode of Oz.
Well, that's why they ran the spoon up his ass. He said, "We're going to spoon tonight," and he takes the spoon and rams it up his ass.
Oh, okay.
So that's totally different type of spooning.
Oh, okay.
I think that was a thing for Oz.
Yeah, I think that was Oz.
That was just one of those things that make people go, ooh, clench your butts real tight.
And they have feces?
Oh, and then it comes out, so it's a spoonful of feces. It takes the medicine
What's
and go down.
You never heard of
Give us the lingo.
You never heard of a fifi?
Fifi, what's a fifi? Okay, what's a fifi?
Okay, if you're in jail, and of course you're horny.
Well, they're all innocent.
And yeah, you're horny. You still don't have, you don't want to have sex with the other guys yet in the cell block. What they do is they take a glove or something and roll it over sock. They take a sock, roll a sock, put a glove in it, put lotion in it.
And you said like a
so it's like a fleshlight.
It's like a pocket pussy.
Like a pocket pussy.
But they call it in jail. They call it a fifi.
A fifi.
Right.
Do they share?
No, you're not supposed to share
because you might get infected.
So right. That's right. And you don't want to use a powder glove.
That's right.
Because the powder will give you an infection. So, again, I work at a juvenile detention center, and, you know, kids are always making feces and all that.
Wow.
I just found out today that some people are using the cardboard of a toilet roll and putting the condom in, filling it with lotion. And
I guess that's doable.
Yeah, but it's a piece of cardboard. At least a roll sock feels better.
Well, I knew the Navy boys have sea socks, but
but it's called a fifi in jail.
Fifi. And don't share your pocket pussy. Mm-hmm. Watch that Blue Mountain episode; you'll find out why.
Exactly. Oh,
God,
the whole football team got
so
syphilis
dominoes
twice.
Dominoes in your penis.
Yep.
Fifis. Fifi. Is that how you say it? Fifis. Anyway, so this is a long show. I mean, this is it.
This is it. This is the show. We gotta cut it here.
The show. Oh my God! Wow, I learned a lot today. Dominoes.
And again, just Google a picture
if
of a domino.
Take you to the merch room because you got a fucking marble stuck somewhere. So God got me.
Oh my God,
Maynard, I will kill you.
But yeah, I recommend everybody Google and you'll see what I'm talking
bad
about.
For the ping pong balls that time.
Okay, I kept thinking about what if you want those dominoes on both sides?
You can.
Top and bottom.
It doesn't say you can only have one. It depends on you.
So you can have a big square dick.
Yeah, it's pretty much a square dick.
I saw one guy, he actually put the domino, and then he did something to make it fix, and then on the outside, he tattooed the face of the domino.
What number was it?
The 3-1.
3-1. 3-1. Oh, gosh.
So... Yeah, not only did he put it in there, he tattooed it on the shaft of his penis.
So if
see, for guys with small dicks, we don't have that problem because there ain't no room to put shit. So
if he's losing, he just puts his dick on. Here's my, you know, the last tile. I need a 3-1. Okay, here you go.
I can see some moving out there. There's this old Chinese man playing mahjong. All of a sudden, one of them throws their dick on the table.
That's right.
The winner.
And then, mahjong! you throw your dick out and... Mahjong, you win. Anyway.
Again, they got to entertain themselves in jail.
I know. That's interesting. Anyway, okay, so we're almost an hour here. Wow.
Okay.
Awesome.
Well, let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up.
This be the show.
Yeah, so thank you, Julio, for joining us again in the show. It's been like more than 300, 250 episodes ago when you last were here. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's just episode 300 when he was here. Anyway,
that's a lot of tricks ago, Julio.
Yeah. Those German tricks. Okay, so thank you everyone for watching and listening. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or you can give us a call here on the show. We got a couple upcoming episodes. I know one we're going to be talking about puppy play. So if you got any questions about puppy play, leave us a voicemail. That's 206-222-2327. 206-222-2327. BEAR. Call us and leave us a voice message. We will play it on the show.
Yes. And subscribe via iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also listen to the show on your Android device or iOS device using Stitcher Radio. And you can go to listen to the show on Bear Radio Network also. And go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. And we will catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many wolves and many hugs.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear.
We'll just call you the sexologist. How's that?
Prevention specialist.
Is it counting?
Yes, you have 1 minute, 35 seconds.
Look at the camera.
Look at Jose.